Shanae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Shanae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus streaming live right now. Chinee Ogumike and Sarah Spain with you as Mike Golden Jr. is on the call of Tulane versus Tulsa. And I saw your face, Spain. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, you heard my pipes. Now, do you think I just have a husband, a work husband, that is actually being too nice?
Yeah, you were like five notes off. You were nowhere near the original melody of the song. If that's the best you've ever done, I'm glad I don't have a chance to listen to the show every day because I'm prepping for my own.
Okay, it's the best I've ever done on the show, not in like my shower or in my car where we get the best of music, okay?
Okay, right. Better acoustics in there? Okay.
100%. I'll just make sure to call you when I'm in the car and all that stuff so you can actually hear the real stuff.
Okay,
now,
good.
As you heard in the SportsCenter update with the Queen, Christine Lisi, in about 10 minutes, we will chat with our own NBA insider to take us inside the Warriors locker room and break down how Golden State can really try to replace Klay Thompson this season. And speaking of which, let's lean into that because the Warriors were riding high yesterday, you know, before they got the news that Klay Thompson has injured his Achilles. They had the number two pick and they stayed the course. They stuck with their vision and selected James Wiseman, which I've said this is a great choice for them because they've had, you know, liabilities at the center position. Draymond Green's like 6'5", 6'6". He's been holding it down for seven footers, but now he's getting older. And so a lot of people probably were concerned, even with the number two pick, would this team actually work? And one of those people, Greg Anthony, the NBA TV analyst, whose son, by the way, was drafted 15 overall to the Orlando Magic, which, by the way, like, it's funny to see how people, a lot of people are excited to go to, like, periphery franchises, and I think they've got it, Spain. Like, they finally understand that, oh, it's a bad team. You know what that means, right? I get to play.
Yeah,
I got the keys.
I get some touches, yeah.
But I was speaking of Greg Anthony because he is not so high on the Warriors' chances right now with Klay Thompson out.
You just have to feel for them. You have to feel for that team as well. And I heard you talking about them. Listen, they're not going to have a chance to compete for a championship without Klay Thompson. There's no way to sugarcoat that.
So, Sarah Spain, as we heard Greg Anthony, NBA TV analyst, pretty much say, like, there's no chance without Klay, which I understand. He's like one half of the Splash Bros. Are you one of those people writing the Warriors off as well?
I'm not writing him off. Listen, it's going to be really tough. And when we saw that Warriors dynasty be great, they were great against a different NBA landscape, right? It was beat the best in the West and then go up against LeBron plus whatever accumulation of talent the Cavs could put together. It's different now. Not only in the West do they have LeBron to contend with regularly, but we're looking at a Bucks team that's going to look different. We're looking at a Nets team that could be great. So they need to be better than just as great as they were pre-Kevin Durant. But I do think that there's been enough time passed that people are forgetting what that team looked like when they were great. And we haven't seen what Wiggins will look like. We don't know yet how Wiseman will affect things. Steph Curry being back in his bag where he's doing the things that we used to see him do. This was a dynasty before Kevin Durant ever got there. This was a team that was regularly in it. And the way they played was such a challenge for other teams to match up with. I think one of the things that was most notable in the bubble, and we'll see what we could take away from the bubble and what was not really something that's going to carry over to a regular season. But one of the things we took away was just how much matchups really made you guessing at which teams you thought were going to emerge. And I do think that we've underestimated how difficult, if the Warriors are being the Warriors, and how they can do that without Klay is still up for grabs. But I'm not ready to write them off as much as other people are, where they've got them sinking down to 7th, 8th in the West.
Same here. Chinee Angola Jr., Chinee Ogumike, Sarah Spain with you here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Now, I absolutely agree, Spain, because I feel like the Warriors, like, people forget Steph Curry pretty much invented the game that a lot of these players are
playing. Right.
And he's
right.
Still in his prime. But you really brought up in the break an interesting point about, like, the Warriors are making the stab at Kelly Oubre to try to bring him in. I think it's like a $14 million pay deal, but it has a lot of implications. Can you sort of describe what you outlined?
Yeah, so Bobby Marks, who's the expert on these things, which is not only above my pay grade, but above the level of math that I made it through in college, all the NBA mid-level exceptions and salary matches, all that stuff.
Wild.
And he basically said the Golden State tax bill was already going to be high, even for a team that was missing or had injured guys. Now you're adding in Oubre. $14.4 million is the salary, but $68 million in taxes because of being over the luxury. So that's going to cost him over $82 million. So, you know, you heard Bob Myers say that, you know, he'd been given the green light from ownership to use the $17 million trade exception that came as a result of that deal that sent Andre Iguodala away. And that was before they knew for sure the extent of Clay's injury. So you knew that they were going to try to find some wing depth. You knew that they were going to try to find an added piece. But the amount of money, $350 million-ish roster that might not even really contend because Clay is gone. That's a ton of money for a team that has a massive, massive, expensive stadium that they can't put fans in right now.
Do you know how awkward it has to feel to be Andrew Wiggins right now? Like, oh, hey, Clay Thompson's out. Like, maybe I'll get the rock more. People will finally give me confidence, you know, to play my game. And it's like, oh, hold up. We kind of want Kelly Oubre.
Well, I hope that's what he feels like. Because
why?
I think we've always felt that Wiggins is more talent than what he's actually lived up to. So here's your chance. Here's your opportunity. Let's see it. You know, this was a guy that they thought, we all thought maybe might be used as a piece last night. If they decided not to go ahead and make that pick, there were rumors that the Bulls might be involved with the Warriors and moving up. I don't think they're going to use Wiggins to go anywhere now. I think they're going to try to make him a part of this. And now we get to see what he can be like if he elevates around great talent around him like Steph.
And this is the organization that knows how to elevate talent. I mean, Draymond Green became an all-star, a multi-time mm-hmm. all-star because he's around Steph and they know how to develop those guys and find their moxie and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I think Wiggins in the equation, I think he's going to only benefit from playing alongside Steph for sure.
Well, but that's a good point too, Chinee, because I do think that all the people that once again are underestimating whether the Warriors can compete this year might be forgetting that it's about that chemistry. And it's about how players look alongside others. The amount of attention that Steph can pull and the fact that he can literally hit from half court means that those other guys that maybe even a Kelly Oubre who's had a great year with the Suns and Phoenix was really sorry to see him go, sent him to OKC. We barely knew ye. Now he's in Golden State. Even he can see his game elevated. Wiggins, all these guys, like James Wiseman, it'll be so interesting to see how that changes the dynamic of the team when they really have a true center in there. I just think we've kind of slept on them because it's been a while since they cared and wanted to compete because of, you know, injuries and then a slow start and everything else. So I don't know. I'm not writing off Steph Curry.
Yeah, and while I have you here, because we don't get you often, I want to ask you about LaMelo Ball, because we're talking about the draft and the Warriors. How did you feel about him going to Charlotte? I feel like this was destiny in the making.
Oh, well, let me just first say, it was so perfect that the only microphone that didn't work on draft night was the one that was in the Ball household, because of all the people who wanted to speak, I know that LaVar Ball was the one who most wanted to get his big mug on TV. And somehow these guys managed to have a full reality show in Lithuania and across the world, and they couldn't get the one mic working on draft night. Beyond that, listen, we're going to talk a lot, and it's going to be great content and real funny to talk about that one-on-one match between MJ and LaVar. But more importantly, I want this kid to get to be himself and to be great and step out of whatever shadow people might still have of LaVar, who, by the way, both of his kids are now in the NBA. This is his son's biggest night, and he posts a picture of himself wearing a hat that says, "I told you so." I cannot roll my eyes back far enough. But I do want to kind of get past that initial funny LaVar versus MJ stuff and get to actually seeing how he performs at the NBA level, because this is the least we've seen of a number of guys that were high picks because of the choice to play abroad, because it's been so long since college players were in action, and particularly him, you know, going from Chino Hills and then Australia and Lithuania and whatever the hell LaVar's league was called for the 1 month that it was in existence. I'm just ready to see him with a bunch of professional guys.
Look, sign me up for that LaVar Ball versus MJ. Like, stream it. I will be watching, because if we watch The Last Dance, we know that Michael Jordan is like the last person to cross Spain. Like,
let me just say, it's going to be like one of those UFC fights that ends in 10 seconds. So you might want to have some undercards, because the number of people who are going to be mad about paying for that, and then Michael absolutely toasts him. I'm talking fake hamstring injury after two plays. You better have an undercard. And it might be me versus Chinee in The Voice. ESPN edition.
And I'd win that by a landslide. I mean, LaVar Ball, LaMelo Ball, Ball is Life. Is that the name of their show? So let's lead into this, the NBA coming up next. But this time, let's go straight to a source, into the locker room. What are the Warriors' options after Klay Thompson's injury? That is next on Chinee and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Shanae Ogumike and Sarah Spain with you. Now, Thursday night football is tonight. Hail Murray taking on Russell Wilson. Now, in about 10 minutes, Spain and I will try to figure out whether Kyler should really be in the MVP discussion. We already got Laura's take, and she says yes. I wonder if Spain will say no. But also, today, we got the news that Klay Thompson, as you just heard in the promo, has a torn Achilles. And then the voice you heard also was Adrian Wojnarowski, who just tweeted, Golden State is nearing a deal with OKC to acquire Kelly Oubre Jr., and the Warriors will absorb Kelly Oubre Jr. and his $14.4 million salary into their $17.2 million trade exemption once the deal is done. We're still waiting for final confirmation. But to break all of this down, we're super hyped to be joined by, right now on the Shell Pensola Performance Line, Kevin Pelton, our own ESPN NBA writer. Now, I know anybody in the NBA is working on, like, limited sleep. So first, Kevin, I hope you're okay after that long draft last night. But also now, with the Warriors, Klay is out, Klay Thompson. What do you think, though, about Kelly Oubre possibly coming in?
I think it makes sense for the Warriors. I mean, he's obviously not going to bring everything that Klay Thompson did, particularly as a shooter. You know, Oubre is kind of an average three-point shooter at best, and you're downgrading substantially from one of the great shooters in NBA history. And, you know, maybe not the on-ball defender that Klay Thompson is at that end of the court either. But, you know, they weren't going to be able to get that player with this trade exception. What they do get in Oubre is someone who can play multiple positions. I like the idea of him, you know, playing alongside Andrew Wiggins at forward, maybe when they slide Draymond Green to center in those smaller lineups that have been so effective for the Warriors over the years, and also someone who's just entering the prime of his career. So even though Oubre is an unrestricted free agent next summer, I don't think this is a one-year move for the Warriors. I think part of the reason that they created this Iguodala trade exception back in the summer of 2019 is, you know, their logic was, we want to try to outspend everybody and make use of the fact that at that point they were envisioning Chase Center being a real cash cow for them. Obviously, that's not going to be able to happen in the same way this year because of the pandemic, but as you project in the future, I think the Warriors do plan to continue paying the tax as long as they're a contending team, and, you know, Oubre is someone who can grow with them.
Yeah, speaking of that financial side of things, obviously in the immediate future they can't have attendance to try to offset that luxury bill, but we also don't really have an idea of the long-term effects on salary cap and everything else in the NBA. How risky is it for them to be willing to be so high up in the luxury tax, especially since many are now arguing without Klay they won't be contending?
It's certainly, you know, great credit to their ownership that they're still willing to take on this bill. And I think a couple of things made it a little easier for them out of the agreement that we saw between the league and the players when they reached an agreement on revisions to the salary cap after the pandemic. So first off, we do have, you know, a pretty good sense of where the cap is going to be, where we know that there's going to be at least a 3% increase from season to season. It's not going to just get stuck at this current amount like it has from the past season to this one. The other thing we learned is there's going to be a reduction in the luxury tax based on how much income the league brings in, which is how they set the salary cap normally, is compared to what they were projecting before the pandemic hit. So, you know, even though it is a massive increase to the Warriors' luxury tax bill, it's a lot less than it could have been had there not been that adjustment. I think that's one of the reasons they were more willing to use this trade exception.
Here with Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer on Shanae Ngola Jr., Shanae Ogumike, Sarah Spain. Now, given this injury news with Klay Thompson, the Warriors stayed the course. I said, like, they followed through on their vision, they followed through on their shot, and stuck with James Wiseman with the number two pick. Do you think that was the right move?
I mean, I personally thought LaMelo Ball was the best prospect in this year's draft, much like, you know, Mike Schmitz and Jonathan Givony are draft experts. So I certainly would have given him strong consideration, even though he probably wouldn't help them as much in the short term as Wiseman, who, you know, I do think that they can fit right in right away and play a similar role to what Marquise Chris did for the Warriors last season, where, you know, he's catching lobs on offense. He's protecting the rim on defense. It's also the old JaVale McGee role. They have a defined role for him. I think the question is, you know, how much ability is Wiseman going to have to grow into a true superstar player in that role over time, because that's what the Warriors are counting on from this pick. And, you know, I don't think that centers are quite as valuable in the modern NBA as ball handlers with size like LaMelo Ball is if he hits. But, yeah, definitely they weren't deterred by what happened with Klay Thompson.
I'm talking to Kevin Pelton here. How much do you think the Warriors can bounce back from this and actually compete? Because I think people are sort of prisoners of the moment on not having seen them contend in a bit of time. So now they've got them down 6, 7, 8 in the West. I think we haven't seen them really full strength with Wiggins. Obviously, Wiseman comes in. Steph is strong. I still give them a shot. How about you?
I think there's got to be a lot of uncertainty about what we're going to get from them. You know, for all the reasons you mentioned, and then also the single biggest factor that's going to determine what the Warriors look like next season is, what's Steph Curry's health? Because people have kind of took it for granted that, oh, he just wasn't playing last year because, you know, they weren't trying to win. They wanted a lottery pick. I mean, it was a legitimate injury that he suffered. Was out a long period of time and then, you know, dealt with some other injuries when he came back. He's missed games, extended periods over the course of his career. You know, if you tell me that Steph Curry is going to play 65 to 70 games next season, I feel a lot better about the Warriors' chances of moving up, back up into that top four in the West than I do if, you know, he's down in that 50-55 game range. And, you know, that's a lot of games that you're, again, going to have to manage without either Clay or Steph.
Now, you've put in a lot of work over the last 24 hours outlining pretty much what Klay Thompson's injury means. And also, you picked winners and losers from the first round of the NBA draft. Is there anyone out there that you're really excited about coming from the fold last night?
Yeah, I mean, Sacramento was my winner of the draft with Tyrese Halliburton slipping to them at the 12th pick. He was number two in my stats-based projections. You know, not everyone is as high on him as that, certainly, but he was someone we were expecting to go, you know, possibly in the top five or six picks and last a lot longer than that. And Sacramento, I thought, throughout the night, did a good job of kind of letting the draft come to them and taking advantage of the value. They did that in the second round, too, with Robert Woodard III, who's kind of a 3-and-D player, and then Jamias Ramsey from Texas Tech, who, you know, someone was talked about a first-round pick much of the year, but it seemed to kind of slide in the draft process. So, you know, he's young prospect, a little more score first than you would like in a role player, but he's got a lot of upside. So I liked what they did throughout the night.
At Kevin Pelton, K Pelton on social, and you can find his work all over ESPN Plus. Kevin, get some rest. I know that the turnaround is crazy, like the season tips in less than a month or about a month.
Well, we got free agency tomorrow, so no rest for the weary quite yet.
Oh, bummer.
Team No Sleep. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate you. Team No Sleep. Now, you know what's funny, Spain? Steph Curry is not the only one who woke up today, probably from his, like, afternoon nap, with more work on his plate. Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, they got to put in work tonight, Thursday Night Football. So who has the edge? We will tell you who next on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Sarah Spain, you are married. And I'm so excited to ask you this. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunwike and Sarah Spain with you as Mike Golic Jr. is on the call of Tulane versus Tulsa in college football. Now, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Would you want to play for your father-in-law or mother-in-law if they were a coach? I want you to hold your answer, though.
Okay.
We're going to get to it in about 10 minutes.
Oh,
but I actually have a real question. Like, who's your wedding planner? Because I saw your wedding and it was lit and I watched on social.
It was mostly me, but we had a wedding planner to help, but it was mostly me. And if you want me to plan your wedding, I would be happy to.
You saw the outfits yesterday. I mean, it's going to be an African wedding. I don't know if you're ready.
Okay, we might need to bring in an outside consultant to help with the traditional aspects, but the other stuff I can help you make sure it's lit.
Hold it down. And speaking of, like, happy marriages, because here on Janae and Golic Jr., it's like work wife, work husband. You know how that is. You got fits. And
we're not happy, though, because he's always cheating on me with you and then forgetting that I exist. So he needs to work on that whole radio mistress thing that he does.
Right? I mean, he's just my side piece, so don't worry about
it. I know. Okay? I'm fully aware he means nothing to you, but I'm a little bit worried about how attached you are to him.
That is true. Well, maybe he doesn't slam my voice, okay? That's why I keep him around.
He's a professional musician, so I think he's just being kind. He knows.
You're right. Tomatoes. He's used to tomatoes if people are mean to him. So I think he's scarred. But it's funny because we're talking about marriages, and it seems like a nice work marriage is happening between Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins right now. We have the Hail Mary, the Bills. I'm sorry, Christine Lisi. I'm so sorry to bring this up again. But tonight we have Thursday Night Football where the Cardinals can really follow through on that momentum against the Seahawks, who they've already taken down one. And I love it because in the NBA, we always talk about small ball. And here we've got small ball again, because I think it was Ryan Clark, right, that said these two quarterbacks are so good that they make you forget that they're actually small. And they've been able to defy the odds, especially in different ways. And it's sort of like Russ birthed Kyler in some weird way in the same division where, you know, there's a three, I think it's a three-way tie in the NFC West between the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. Kyler won a round one. Who do you think has the edge going into round two, Spain?
This is a tough one because the Seahawks, obviously, a bad loss last week, and a lot of what people expected out of this team was that eventually their terrible defense would catch up to them, that Russ and that offense could only put together those circus plays, those incredible offensive feats so often before it caught up to them. I think the Seahawks are still on pace to have the worst pass defense in the history of the NFL, which is not great. And there was a really interesting story, actually, that Mina retweeted today, Mina Kimes, that somebody wrote about how the Rams exposed the way to cover Let Russ Cook. And some of the things that the Seahawks have done in trying to get more balance into their offense and passing on earlier downs has worked really well until another team offers up the opportunity to run and says, here, we'll give you this, and we know you're not going to take it because of the way that you're now actually prioritizing the reverse of what you used to. So it'll be interesting to see if the Seahawks look at how the Rams offered up some opportunities, especially to run up the gut, and actually kind of revert or at least find a better balance between the way things were before when they were never letting Russ cook and the way things are now when perhaps make it too obvious to opposing defenses that they're looking for those passes early on in downs. I think what we've seen from Kyler and the Cardinals has been really undercovered. I don't know why, because we were hot on this kid when he was trying to make a decision between between baseball and football. We're obviously hot on his coach and his, you know, Ryan really? Gosling looks in his in his house that, like, I just want to be some sort of 20-something who makes a bad drunken decision and ends up there like, oh, wow, this is a good choice. Maybe I'm exposing too much about my 20s. But all that stuff was such a conversation because now they're ahead of schedule in terms of being great. Kyler's doing things that we've seen only from really Lamar Jackson, and we're sort of underplaying them because it's like, oh, we already saw that. Okay, well, his stats are better. This guy is the sixth leading rusher in the league out of all the players, not quarterbacks, number one in quarterbacks, but better than like all the running backs too. So I didn't answer your question. I think the Cardinals are going to win.
Period. You think the Cardinals?
I think so. I think that Seahawks defense is going to get tore up by Hopkins and Murray. And so whatever Russ does and however great it is, it's going to be back and forth. And in the end, it's going to be Seahawks D letting them down.
You know, Spain, it's funny. You said tore up, like the way I say it is, toe up from the flow up. That's how we do it. And you talked about how balanced this offense is passing when I'm talking about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. The Cardinals are averaging nearly 169 yards rushing per game, which leads the NFL. And Kyler Murray and running back Kenyon Drake are on pace for 1,000-yard seasons, which is nuts. And that's balance at the quarterback position. Now, what do you think, like, the fix is? Is it leaning more into Russell Wilson's arm where, like, obviously, we've shown that by doing that, it increases the amount of turnovers. But, I mean, the synergy with DK Metcalf, are we worried Tyler Lockett being back? Like, what do you think is the fix here for the Seattle Seahawks?
The fix isn't the offense. I'm not worried. I mean, it was interesting earlier today. Gojo and I were talking about this, and he pointed out that, like, statistically, Russell Wilson is leading Kyler Murray in a ton of categories outside of rushing. Now, you can't forget rushing because Kyler's got 10 rushing touchdowns this year. I don't think it's Russ. He's got an incredible pair of weapons in Metcalf and Lockett. I really just think he can't make mistakes offensively because of the liability that they have on defense. So to your point, those turnovers that come from making those mistakes, he has to be incredibly tight. And he was for so long. It was so rare to see Russ throw a pick. And now a couple different mistakes in recent weeks. I don't know if he's putting too much pressure on himself because he understands that the other side isn't going to do what they need to do to offset what they're doing. But he needs to settle in and relax and not make those risky plays because, unfortunately, they can't count on the defense to get the stop afterwards.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Because as you're saying all of this and putting, like, pressure on himself, we put a lot of pressure on him because, you know, going into the season after those first few games, we're like, oh, how has this guy not gotten, I'm speaking of Russell Wilson, how has he never got an MVP vote?
Yep.
And now it's like he's the leader in MVP, you know, voting at this point when, like, all of us, if we could do it, like, 3 weeks, 6 weeks in. And then after that week six, things started turning, especially after their game versus the Cardinals. And now it's funny to see how the role is sort of reversing. Like, do you think that Kyler Murray is right now etching himself in the MVP conversation himself?
Oh, he's absolutely in the conversation. Like I pointed out, and we talked about this on Spain and Fitz with Sarah Spain and my radio husband, Jason.
What is that?
He's always cheating on me. We talked about how there's this interesting and fascinating thing where Lamar Jackson sort of set things up for Kyler Murray in terms of people not spending all of their time harping on whether it's safe for Kyler to run as much as he does or whether it's a long-term realistic solution at quarterback to have a guy who's on the ground so much. People are just letting Kyler do his thing. But at the same time, because we saw Lamar do such incredible things in his MVP year, we aren't marveling at Kyler the way we should be considering the statistics that he's putting up. And part of that, too, is I think the team and the record and the expectations coming in. You know, obviously, the Ravens were putting together such an incredible record that it made it impossible to ignore Lamar and what he was doing. But I think that Kyler may suffer a little bit. It's sort of in the same way that, you know, Russ averaged a triple-double, and we were like, that's amazing, MVP, and then he did it again. We're like, oh, we already saw that. I'm worried that that might happen to Kyler in terms of us now becoming accustomed to much more mobile running quarterbacks and quarterbacks who can score the way both he and Lamar have.
You know, it's funny, that comparison really works because the Houston Rockets, it's like, we may not stab with the rest of them, you know, be able to stab at the contenders. So we're just going to shoot more threes. And it seems like the Seahawks are taking, like, we're just going to try to go for more points. And it's hard to sustain that. And I don't see people finding championships by, like, not having balance. So they got to get the defense going. Now, I really can't wait to find out who will be the winner tonight on Thursday Night Football, Seahawks, Cardinals. But coming up next is playing for your in-law. A winning idea. We'll get Sarah's take. That's next on Janae Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Tell me I ain't fly, Sarah Spain. Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, especially when I sing, okay? Janae Ogwumike and Sarah Spain here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell of Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, we have to thank all of the guests that joined us today. Brian Windhorst, our own ESPN NBA insider, and also Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer, who broke down the Warriors' locker room after the Klay Thompson injury news in which he's injured his Achilles, out for the season, and even adding, you know, the conversation moving forward, Kelly Oubre Jr. possibly being a solution there in the Warriors locker room in Golden State. We also have to thank Kimberly Martin, our own ESPN NFL reporter, and Laura Rutledge, ESPN NFL live coach and host, who are buying the hype when it comes to Kyler Murray and the MVP conversations and the MVP debates. But hey, Russ will have a lot to say about that. Let Russ cook again, even though, like, the last time he said that, it's all been Dalvin Cook, the other cook, but maybe he takes that back. Now, Spain, this has been really fun because I was really nervous, you know, sharing the show with you. I love Ladies Night, right? And, but, like, I was scared because I sing and I'm a confident woman. And you're like, what are you? Like, Randy Jackson? What's his name? Randy
yeah.
something?
Yeah, you little
It's a no
dog.
For me dog.
Yeah,
it's a Simon Cowell.
Dog. Yeah.
You still think so?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't have it all today. It's actually pretty greedy of you to expect that you should be able to. You're a professional basketball player who is a radio host and a talented TV person who gets shout-outs from Obama on Twitter, and you want to be a singer, too? Like, I'm sure I forgot some other stuff in there that you do. Let's just leave some stuff for other people. And by leave it, I mean don't even attempt it.
I'm sorry, I can't do that. But I appreciate all the love you just gave me. I appreciate the
love.
If
people want to hear real singing, I'm pretty sure Fitz and I are going to dip into our bag of tricks a little bit even more than last year, where we did a couple Christmas-type nods to the sports world. I think the carols are going to be coming in. I'm considering a countdown to Christmas with all sorts of vocal stylings with true professionals. So, you know, just wait a little longer on the dial for the good stuff is all I'm saying. This is sort of like, I was going to say something. I don't know if I'm allowed to, and I don't want to get in trouble on your show, just on mine.
Don't worry. That's me every day, and we love that energy, and we have a segment all about that. So why don't we keep that same energy? Cliff?
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
I've been waiting to ask you this. Janae Ogwumike, Sarah Spain, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, all guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, I've been waiting to ask you this, okay? Would you ever want to play for your in-laws if you're still playing in a professional athlete? I am probably not the right person to ask because this is still an option for me. But the Philadelphia 76ers, they acquired an elite three-point shooter who happens to be married to the coach's daughter. I'm talking about Seth Curry, traded to the 76ers to play for his father-in-law, Doc Rivers. So, Spain, first of all, what do you think of that, one, in the NBA? And then, two, would you ever play professionally for your in-laws?
Well, first of all, I'm cycling through possible WNBA coaches whose sons you might marry, and I'm trying to figure out, like, because you were like, this is still a possibility for me, and I was like, oh, we, like,
well,
have we already
active,
thought
so
about
you never know what happens.
You never know. It's very smart of you. Listen, if my father-in-law was Doc Rivers, sure. You know, I would be down for a brilliant basketball mind leading the way, but I do think it's awkward, right? It's tough enough that Doc Rivers has already had his own son play for him. Now he's got his son-in-law. Like, can we just give him a season where he doesn't have to handle either one? Personally, my father-in-law or mother-in-law would not be the right choice. My mother-in-law's not a big sports fan. And my father-in-law, consistently when I started dating my husband, who is from Wisconsin, would try to sneak Wisconsin-related paraphernalia into the house. Like, a Wheaties box with, like, a Packers player on it. Or he would try to rename our dog names of Packers players. So what? I don't think he has my best interest in mind, is what I'm saying. I think he would prioritize what was best for him and not the best use of my skill set. So, no. In my particular personal circumstances, I would stay away from that.
He's just trying to keep you on your toes. Me, personally, I probably would still do it. Like, I know you can't scream at me that bad because I'd be, like, running back, like, oh, hey, bae, like, look what happened.
God, imagine, though, just going home every night and being like, how's practice today? It sucked. Your dad's awful. Your dad is such a jerk.
Tell him to give me the rock. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Content-wise, it'd be fun on the team, I'm sure. I think the person who's probably in the worst situation is actually Seth Curry's wife, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like the one who's going to get stuck in the middle is the one who's trying to make sure dad's okay, hubby's okay, no one's beefing, everything's cool. Like, you're going to, because she's going to hear from both of them.
Yeah, the referee in the middle.
Yeah.
That is a tough place to be. That's tough. But I thought it was hilarious. I probably would still do it if I could win a championship, but
well,
you never
yeah.
know.
I think if we could put that on any question, you'd probably be down.
You're right. That's a fact. Now, while we have you here, I sort of want to run through some ideas that happen on our show.
Okay.
We have a lot of crazy takes, so I'm going to lean into Dev and Cliff if you guys think of things. But, like, I want to get your take on what is the best French fry out there?
Oh, there's so many good French fries. But when I was just in Saugatuck, Michigan 2 weeks ago, took a little weekend trip, and we went to this place, Penny Royal Cafe. My husband got the perfect order. I got a salad. It was a terrible mistake. So I ate most of his. He got this amazing, like, French onion soup grilled cheese. So it had, like, some of the caramelized onion and, like, the cheese from, anyway. But these French fries, I opened them up thinking there should be regular French fries. They're the thick ones that have a tiny bit of the skin on them. Potato skin, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
So it's, like, not a steak fry. It's more of just, like, a, I don't even know what you would call it. Those are the best by far. The only fries that I don't really dig are the, like, extra, extra thin skinny guys where you have to eat, like, 12 of them at once to get any flavor. Those are not my jam.
Yeah, no, I said the wedge, like something that's, like, not too thin.
I like
and not
a wedge,
too
but sometimes a wedge ends up, they call it, it's almost like a beer battered style or something, and the flavor gets a little off. Something between a steak and a wedge, I think, is the answer.
Okay, it's holiday season, right? And we've gone from cuffing season to, like, I think we're in straight winter now. Like, Thanksgiving is next week. When is the appropriate time to put up holiday decorations?
All right, so we actually had a call today for this particular show that I hopped on to see how you guys, you know, handle your business here. And Liam of the radio team had a beautiful Christmas set up behind him. And it turns out his wife works for Anthropology, so that checks out. It looked like an inside of a store.
Gorgeous.
I asked if his front windows had, like, a window display of, like, people dropping cotton snowballs into each other or something. But I'm a stickler where I don't want my Christmas decorations up until the day after Thanksgiving. But they bring me so much joy, so I don't know why I'm that way. Like, I would much rather have 2 months of the joy of Christmas decorations, so I have no idea why I'm actually in conflict with myself on this, but I wait until right after Thanksgiving.
Especially, like, now, 2020, we need the good vibes
possible.
We're
not leaving the house.
Okay, last but not least, we've got another versus battle, okay? We had Badu and Jill Scott that gave me life, but tonight is Jeezy versus who? Gucci Mane, who are you taking?
I'm gonna go Jeezy.
Why?
Who are you taking? I just so upset you with that answer. Explain what's happening to your face right now.
I was thinking, and it looked like a frozen Zoom screen. I'm going Jeezy. I put on for my city in Houston. I put on for
all you agree
my
with me. Okay.
I'm going Jeezy. I really didn't want to go against Gucci Mane because he really puts his woman on, but, like, I'm going Jeezy.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. This was so much fun. I feel like we're good now.
Yeah. Text me later, and I can listen to you sing along with
I got you. I don't know what show comes up next. Maybe Spain and Fitz. Good luck, Junior.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.